Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 92 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Redeeming the Time by the Church. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
This is lesson number 92 today and of the Scribe, Unlocking the Prophetic. Our subtitle is Changing the Spiritual Atmosphere by Redeeming the Time by the Church. And we've went into time, we went into redeeming time. We've been in redeeming of our time, now we're into redeeming of time by the Church. Now, is this time our understanding and our prophetic understanding continues to broaden and to get larger? What happens to our spirit man is, as your concept of time enlarges, so does your spiritual man. It has to enlarge to encompass or to take in the prophetic of a larger time. I don't know how else to say it other than you're being stretched to receive and have observation of greater periods of time. I put this one in there for today. It takes more than daylight savings time to redeem time. That's the reason I said I knew today something in the spirit is happening. We have been on this quest of, I've been trying to teach you understanding the fourth dimension of time. Here we find ourselves today in a time of daylight savings time is trying to redeem an hour's worth of time. That's what it's doing. And so we can see that mankind's trying to redeem time. The best man can do is an hour, and it has to rob it from one end to give it to the other. So this is not true. Daylight savings time is not true redemption. But as we see ourselves today in this time marker, this third dimensional marker of time, our time has shifted today. There again, I can sense in the spirit and in the fourth dimension that there's something shifting today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. It's in today's time. God's doing some type of daylight savings time and a shift of the spirit, and it's today. And I don't know how else to say it. And I don't know how else to give it a great alarm other than in the spirit. We're in a great time marker today in things of the Spirit. It's in redeeming time, and it takes more than daylight savings time to redeem the time. When God redeems time, He does it more than an hour. He does it for eternity. And I believe we're going to see a lot of that happen. I think it's a shift in it, whether we see it or not. I believe that shift is today. Turn our clocks forward or backward doesn't stop time from moving forward. It just doesn't. So how on earth are we supposed to redeem it? If we can't even do it with daylight savings time, and the Scripture says to us to redeem time, how in the world, how in all of the heavens, is this statement of redeeming the time, is it relevant? Is it real? Is it possible? Now, I believe that it's very much real, and I believe it's very much possible. How on earth are we supposed to redeem it? Well, let's look at this. I want to give just a little more light as we move on this understanding of the fourth dimension of redeeming time. Are we buying back the past? Now, this is what the term redeeming means. The word redeem typically is, here we are, typically, not necessarily biblically, but typically means buying back, to redeem. That is, paying a price in order to recover something that once belonged to you. Now, this statement is true, and it's not true. Let me give you the not truth first. The not truth is you cannot buy back your past. This is totally impossible. You cannot erase it. You cannot buy it back. But when God redeems our time, He is redeeming you back before the foundations of the earth. Now, y'all have heard me say this before, and I'm trying to constantly, it's not like I'm necessarily trying to repeat myself. I'm trying to bring a greater light on the subject, greater light on the topic, so as you can really start seeing why I make some of these, it appears to be a wild statement or a far-fetched statement. It is totally biblically founded. So I can't buy back my past, but God redeems my time, and that is, He redeems it based on how I was before the foundations of the earth. So God redeems it back into that original state. So as a prophetic people, and what we're trying to live unto, and y'all have heard me say this, is who we were before the foundations of the earth. Now we've seen ourselves kind of thrown into this fallen earth, this earth of decay, this earth of darkness. We have all found ourselves, if you can just imagine this prophetically for a moment, all of us wonder, well, why does this happen? Why does that happen? Well, the reason bad things happen is because we find ourselves in a bad place. We find ourselves in a place of darkness. We find ourselves on a planet that is broken. So therefore, we have been placed in it. You didn't choose to be here, right? I did see on the news the other day where this one guy was suing his parents for birthing him. He said he did not give them permission. So therefore, he had been violated. I don't know how you work that one out. It's amazing what we can come up with. So we see ourselves in this fallen world, in this fallen state, in a place of darkness. We have been cast into it. So why are we here? Well, consider this. Have I been placed here to be totally successful? Not necessarily. Success or failure has nothing to do with it. Have I been placed here so the world can know who I am? Not necessarily so. They might, but that's not the goal. Why have we been placed into a dark planet? It has been placed so we will bring a little bit of light to this place. Everybody's life is to bring in a little bit of light. Now, I can't redeem anything, but I can shine light. I can shed light. So my goal is I'm not the one who redeems, but I am the one that has a candle to bring it out from under a basket. So what do I do in this dark world? I bring light to the earth. That's our goal. Does it mean that if I bring light, it'll equal God doing something? Doesn't say that. Our goal is we are in a dark world, and the question is, will you let your light shine no matter what the darkness? It's actually that simple. Will we shed light? Will we show light no matter what the darkness? See, what happens with us, we'll shed light looking for our result, that therefore there won't be as much darkness. It's not your purpose. It's not your call. Your purpose and call is to bring light to any given situation. And it's because that the light is present that others perhaps can see truth because of the light that you shine upon the darkness. Does that mean, where do we get disappointed? In the light? No, we get disappointed because we don't see the results. We're saying, well, light's going to equal this. Well, it's just not in your marching orders. Our marching orders is to bring the light. So who redeems it? Actually, the redemption is done by the cross of Christ. So God is doing the redeeming that we bring forth a life, the light. And so the scriptures use it as we are to redeem the time. We are redeeming time by the light. Now, I'll show you more of this. Redeeming the time isn't about buying back wasted time. It's about dedicating ourselves to using future time to redeem the future. Are you with me? So I'm trying, what he's asking us to do is to think from right now forward. Well, what about the past? I can't change it. But there's something about, in God's spiritual equation, when I dedicate my time unto the future, to redemption of the future, somehow or another, all this stuff will work together for good for that end. Go figure. It's God's equation. It's the way God does it. Do I try to redeem my past? No. Do I try to redeem my future? Yes. By dedicating ourselves to using future time to redeem future. So as we're moving forward in the light of God, we can see that in God's equation, somehow he uses the past. And when we're running towards redemption of future, somehow or another, God works all that stuff out for good. Now that's done in one of his mysteries of his grace, it's called. Called the mercies and the grace of God. Now, forward motion. That's the key. I explained to you dimensional time. We went through the fourth dimension of time. Then last few weeks we went through, you got to add energy to the time. That's what causes a nucleus. So you got atoms and everything movement. What we do is we provide the energy. Energy with fourth dimension spiritual time equals forward motion. But you have to apply energy to it, which comes from you and I. That means we are agreeing with and doing something with it. If you do not worship God, read God's word daily. If you do not put this energy into your time, it's not going to change the future. It's impossible. Now, can I say that sometime God supersedes it? Yeah, God can do anything God wants to, you notice? Now, forward motion. Redeeming the time starts when? Right now. In this moment, and extends to the moment after and the moment after that. So when we are thinking redeeming time, we're thinking futuristically on our part. We see somebody and their time needs redeeming. Are you with me? But we're picking it up from right now. That's the reason you can't get yourself cleaned up and get right with God. You come to God right now. Right now is when you do it. You don't get ready to get to right now. It's just right now is the time. And I know it seems like I'm nitpicking sentences and thoughts here, but it's necessary, I think, for me to be able to convey it properly. Redeeming the time starts right now in this moment and extends to every moment as we're thinking forward. In other words, your mind is made up. The future is waiting to be redeemed. Are you getting it? So therefore, if your life is not here, does it make a difference in redeeming future? The answer is yes. Now, you're either helping the future or you're hurting it, one or the other. Everything that you have to do today speaks prophetically into your future of tomorrow. So that's the reason we want to be very careful and not to be selfish, that we want to be able to move forward in future of the kingdom of God. It is ready for someone to walk in love, light, and wisdom. How is the future redeemed? The way it is redeemed, it is waiting for someone to walk in love, light, and wisdom. I didn't just make that up. In the chapter, Paul encourages the Ephesians to do what? Walk in love, walk as children of light, and to walk circumspectively, which is wisdom. The Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians that this is the way we engage future. This is the way. You can read it. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is about that. Now, again and again, Paul uses movement. You see that? Reminding us that redeeming the time is something we can only do by moving forward. He says, walk in love, walk as children of light, and to walk in wisdom. Now, that the reason that word's put there is there's not a wasted word in the Scriptures, as I'm sure y'all are well aware. It's because walking is a forward motion. You've got to bring motion to the fourth dimension of time before it equals future changes as far as redeeming future. Now, in Ephesians 5, it says this, so then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So how do we redeem it? Love, light, and wisdom. Love, light, and wisdom. We're walking into the future. You see, redeeming the time can almost give you the... naturally, we can say, okay, I've got to redeem somebody's past. No, you're redeeming their future. God takes care of the past. You're thinking, wow, how do you redeem future? Because without Christ, we all shall fail. Without Christ. So what do we bring to the table? Christ. Love, light, and wisdom. And it's through that we redeem somebody's time, which we now discover is their future. Isn't that amazing? We thought we were redeeming them from their past. No, Jesus takes care of that. And I've taught you, I think, a week or two ago, God, when you bring it to the cross of Christ, God forgets your past. He does away with it. You see, and I've said this to you, your past is not in God's future. Is somebody happy about that? To me, it's just amazing. The reason God does away with it, because it's not a needed building material. It's just not needed because he's wanting future that's been redeemed. How do you redeem things? Before they happen. Anybody getting it? Okay. When did Jesus redeem the earth? Before the foundations of the earth. Somebody say, I got it. So redemption takes place before your future. That's right. That's when it takes place. I talked to a lady this morning who bought, she liked this Spirit-filled Bible, and she was woken up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. No, I think she said she didn't ever go to, she wasn't even asleep yet, that's what it was. And she came across these Bibles, they were a couple hundred dollars, and she'd been wanting to buy them for her grandchildren, some of them can't even read yet. And it was on sale, if you bought several, for $25 a Bible. So she bought all of her grandchildren and everybody, put it on her credit card. So all of her grandchildren, some that couldn't even read yet, would have a Spirit-filled Bible. That's what the Holy Spirit told her to get. What was she doing? Redeeming their future. Redeeming their future. She put motion. Said the credit card company gave her a call about 2:30. They said, "We believe somebody has captured your account and has used your number against your will this late at night." She said she told the lady, said, "No, that was God. He led me to a bargain and I bought all my grandchildren Bibles." I said, "Well, what did she say?" She said she didn't know what to say. I said, "She maybe didn't, but God got his word in there. That's all I do." So what's happening there? You're redeeming the future. Why do you have teach the children at here at church Bible stories? You're redeeming future. Right? You see, training is and teaching is redeeming future. So I'm not in the business of fixing your past. I'm in the business of redeeming your future. So what does the prophetic do? It calls you back unto whom you were before the foundations of the earth. You understand a little bit more now why I say that. That is what we are about. That's what we are doing. Now, God is redeeming man's reason, and therefore the ability to redeem time by the mystery of the church. Now, I want to get into the time of this mystery of the church. There's a specific time, a fullness of times, the Bible calls it, that this mystery of redeeming takes place. It's called a mystery. Why was it called a mystery? We'll get into this. A mystery is a secret. Mystery is something that was not known. So we have this time is going to be redeemed by the mystery of the church. So as a whole, as a church, we're pretty good, or we don't mind flowing, we don't mind operating and redeeming the time one-on-one. Where we need more practice is how to redeem the time corporately as a church. How to flow with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it like that. It's easier to move with the Spirit one-on-one. The Lord says, "All right, go do this." The Lord says, "Do that." The Lord says, "Do this." I want you to watch this. When you are moving one-on-one with the Spirit, you're following the voice of God. When you corporately come together, it's almost the opposite. You're trying to see who can yield the longest, not who can jump up the quickest. You see, the Holy Spirit's speaking. Everybody hears something. Corporately, we're working, moving together. The Lord gives you a word, you just hold it. When you can't hold it any longer and you think your sides are going to blow out sideways and the top of your head off, she's a coming out, look out. I'm okay with that. Because I know that you've held it and you've tested it. It's not just an idea or a thought that hits you real quickly. How can you tell somebody's getting ready to blow? You can't hardly understand what they're saying because there's so many tears and blubber coming out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The Holy Ghost is so strong, is so there, it cannot be contained. I know at that point in time, she's probably been tested by the individual. People will come to me and say, "Well, Alan, is this a word of the Lord or not?" Well, the truth is, I don't really know. What I'm going by, did you test it? Did you hold it? Are you about to blow a gasket or not? I'm not saying you got to blow a gasket for it to be God. It sure is easier for me to judge. If someone's just under the influence of the Spirit. When you have a true word of the Lord, you're broken first. You're broken first. Now, so wanting to redeem time. To follow Christ is to follow the reason in time that God created you. You must own where you are in life. You've heard me say this one. To have authority of all time in your time in the light of the mysteries of God. And we're taking this a step further. You have to do the first part of this teaching before you'll get revelation of the last part. Now, there's two places to be. One is you're in crisis. Another one is you're waiting to your next crisis. I know people say, well, if you're walking with God, you might have no crisis. Ask Jonah when you get there. Ask Job when you get there. We got a lot of people we can ask about that. We're in a fallen world in a dark place. The only way we can have a Disney World here is we have to create it and it breaks down. Where it's not real. We're in a dark place. We're in a broken world, but we can rejoice because we have the light of the world. And how do we get joy, peace, and love? It's by shining the light. The more light you shine, the more peace, love, and wisdom you will have. You heard me say this before. This one boy got saved. He got born again. He was just zealous and full of the love of God. And the one guy said, well, don't worry about him. He'll settle down and be like the rest of us in a little while. Well, God forbid that the rest of us have settled down. God forbid. When heaven, it's one thing for us to talk about heaven being real. And it's another thing to watch somebody that heaven's real. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I in that state right now? Have I been in a state where I've been closer to heaven than I am right now? Yes. I have. Do I know the difference? I know the difference. What pushed me there? Crisis. Crisis pushed me there. As I got in peacetime, I got smarter. I didn't have too many crises. So I knew everything about how God operated. When I got in crisis, I didn't know anything except, oh, God. That was my theology. Oh, God. And when my theology is, oh, God, it would take me to places in the Spirit that I could not get to with all of my wisdom. It's because He carried me there. I did not take myself there. It's through a pressing of dependency upon God that opens the spiritual heavens that we might be with Him in a way and in a place that we read about. So even though we all want to avoid crisis, which we all do, I don't recommend it for spirituality, but yet it just so happens that we're in a fallen world and in a dark world. But there is an answer to the fallenness and darkness, and it's called Christ. Jesus Christ is a mystical, spiritual experience that cannot be experienced through your head, only through your heart. As your heart is mashed, then the wine of the Spirit comes forth. There's just no other way. Even though to the carnal mind that sounds terrible, to the heart of the Spirit it's wonderful. Go figure. It's the ways of God. It takes time and energy to create movement. So as we're taking time, we are all in a time right now. We are in a time of fullness. We're all in our own personal time. We have times of success, and we have times of crisis. Sitting in this room, there's a mixture of both. Probably two-thirds crisis, one-third great successes. To agree with time speaks things into motion. You cannot just agree with time. You must add energy to create movement. There is a time that time is being made full by movement. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together one and all in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Here we are, a dark world, a broken world, a fallen world. God is in heaven. You say, where is heaven? I don't know if it's a long ways or just right here in another dimension. I got a feeling it's right here in another dimension, and that there's a cloud of witnesses watching us even now. And that's one reason I'm going to be so glad my past is forgotten, so I'm hoping that he's erased it from the cloud of witnesses' minds also, if they're watching. Either that, he's going to have a rated TV screen in heaven. Now, we're in a time, things are being made full. Being made full of what? Gathering heaven to the earth. Now listen, church, just because we're not experiencing this scripture right at the moment doesn't mean it's not true. Because it says it, it means it's true. So as believers, this is light. In the dispensation or during the pouring out of the fullness of times, he might gather to get. God right now is pouring out a fullness of times. Fullness of what times? Heaven reaching into the earth. Just because we're not experiencing it every day is proof to us how far away from it we are. That's right. I'm not going to give you some great reason of theology on why we're not seeing it. It just shows us that this is light. We are in the times of fullness, of a pouring out. The question is, are you getting wet from the pouring out? There's two things that will keep you from getting wet. Number one is the enemy. Number two is your brain's too big. It's working like an umbrella. A pouring out, together, all things into one. God shows up where there's a need, where there's a crisis. He doesn't show up to you if you won the lottery. He shows up unto you when you have a great need. God is in to making needs full. What draws God are your needs in this fallen, dark world. So don't be ashamed and feel like some great sin you have created this great need, so therefore you go to God. God in His nature is that He is drawn to the needs of His people. Why? Now go figure this one. Because He loves us so much. Go figure. God, He must love us more than we love each other and ourselves. But aren't you glad? Can you make room for God to love us that much is the question. Will your theology, will your pride, will your brain make room for the love of the Almighty God to make some of time in your life full? If this earth was all that there was, truly we would be at a great place of despair. But we cannot see beyond this veil. If we could see beyond this veil, would we all not hurry our leaving? As the one husband said to the wife when they were both in heaven, I told you we shouldn't hate this good. We'd been here earlier. If we could see it, we would not have the great disappointment we have. It's because we have a limited amount. When you and I meet God, I've been told one time in my life I wasn't going to live for 2 or 3 months. It's an amazing what happens to you. It's different then that I am standing here right now, knowing that it's coming again. But when we're standing before God, when you're if you have the opportunity to be told that you have a short amount of time to live, when you find yourself there, you're going to be there by yourself. I don't care how many people's with you. You were there by, you know that you're leaving one-way ticket by yourself. It's just you and God. And you will have the greatest encounter with God that you ever had in your life. Now, here's my point. We can have, we as long as we understanding it's me and God, we can have that now. Amen. Don't look for everybody around you to be somewhere with God. When you leave this planet, it's you and God. You're going to beg. Your theology is not going to be post, pre, mid-trib. It's not going to be this. It's not going to be that. Your theology is going to be, oh, God. When I was told that, my prayer was Jesus, and I had a visual. I don't know if I'm saved or if I'm lost. This is what it said. But I'm grabbing hold to your ankle, and I'm not letting go. Wherever you take me, that's where we're going. Because I'm going where you're going. You say, Alan, that's a little bold. I meant every word of it. Because it wasn't nobody but me and him. Things got serious. Thinking got serious. Experience got serious. And I never felt so much peace in my entire life. He wants us together in heaven to the earth. That's what we're shooting for. Is that experience 5 seconds before we leave here. But now. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 that you can have this divine nature. In other words, you can have the nature that you're going to have in heaven. He says you can have it now. What kind of nature do you think you're going to have in heaven? A divine one. So the nature you're going to have there, we can have now. Well, if you get your... The part of you that never dies is your nature. If you'll get on into your nature that you're going to have then, now, it won't hurt when you leave now. Because you're already there. Anybody hear what I'm trying to say? Now, test what I say. But I'm telling you the truth. When we leave this body, it shouldn't even feel like a blink of the eye because our nature's already there. If you don't know what it is, it's 2 Peter chapter 1. He goes on to say in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now you should have a complete understanding of predestination now. Predestination is being called unto whom you were before the foundations of the earth. We're all called to that. That's what you're predestined unto. Who God saw you as. When we are prophetically speaking, we are prophetically speaking predestination of who you were before the foundations of the earth in the heart of God. That we should be, which is movement, to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ Jesus. Now, please see this. I beg of you, see this simple truth. The way that we gather heaven and earth together in one is through being praise of the glory. Praise the glory. Let me share this with you. The definition of praise of His glory comes to each individual on a personal, by a personal messenger. I cannot stand here and tell you what praise of His glory is to you. Why? I know it's sent by personal messenger to each individual. Praise of His glory is sent to each individual. It says, who first trusted in Christ? Well, was there people that trusted Christ before you? Why, of course. Who's He speaking of you? It's your first. It's when you first trusted in Christ. You are going to walk in and to the praise of His glory is an experience. It's not a painting on a wall. It's an experience of the gathering business of heaven to the earth. That is awesome. As a combine is unto a farmer to gather the grain, the praise of the glory is unto the believer, the combine of the harvest of mankind. Praise of His glory. Now here's the way it works. I can tell you this. Your harvest increases as your praise increases. The greater the praise, the greater the glory. On an individual basis. On you first. In other words, what He's saying here is you are to behave as though all of the glory and praise going to God rest on you. If you were the only one in the universe that was going to praise God because of His glory, what would that look like? And you were convinced that you were the first. I got a feeling we'd have to change our attitude a little bit. Our self-centeredness, perhaps, would at least need to take second place. Our selfishness, our self-dignity. Heard Paul Cain say one time, you cannot move in the glory of God and have respectability. It just won't happen. To gain the favor of God is to lose the favor of man. And I'm going to have to hush, but while I'm hushing, God's time is always redeeming time to fill up eternity. So what we're looking at, what I want you to take away today is in the redeeming of time, we're redeeming future. God is taking care of everybody's past. He has paid the price. You've learned today that when you redeem something, you're redeeming forward. God redeemed the earth before the foundations of the earth. Redeeming happens beforehand. Is anybody with me? So as we're looking at people, I don't care where they are. Here's where I'm headed. I don't care where somebody is. I'll go alcoholic, drug addict, suicide, whatever. That's where they are. When you understand as a prophetic person that you are wanting to redeem their time, you're not wanting to redeem what got them there. You're wanting to redeem where they're going. Anybody with me? You say, well, Alan, what about the past? God's got it. We're prophetic unto the future. He says, redeem the time. If you redeem your personal time, what would you say? Well, I'm going to get me out of calendar, and I'm going to start doing this Monday morning at 8, and I'm going to start doing this at 12. If you're going to start redeeming your time, are you not going to be thinking about your future time? Of course you are. You're going to think forward. It's just when we get to spiritual things, we want to go, oh, the dark, the bad. Well, it's there. But I'm trying to call God's people into whom God's created them to be. And that is to redeem time. Redeem, when you look at somebody that's lost, undone, without God, when you look at them, say, God, I want to redeem, I want to be part of redeeming their time. Give me your word. What can I say? What can I do? First thing he'll say, well, why don't you give my glory a little praise? I'll say, okay, God. We praise his glory. We have in our mind not how bad they are, not what all wrong they've done. We have in our mind. You can say you can multitask that junk if you want to. Quit it. Say, God, I want to redeem their future. It could be sickness, disease, finances. Say, but Alan, don't you want to redeem what? No. I want to redeem their future. Because we've been called unto that. Let's stand. Let's redeem this next service. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the truth of your word. Dear God, thank you that all of our past, that you've got it. You've got it covered. You tell us just to take it to your cross, that you've got it. You tell us to bring it to your feet, and you say, you got it. You tell us to bring us our sickness, and you say, you got it. You tell us to bring us our finances, our depression, our jobs, our children. You say, bring it to your cross, and you say, you got it. As a church, oh God, we speak into the heavenlies, and we want to redeem the future of everyone that's in this congregation. Everyone that comes into this place today, we want to redeem this next 2 hours, that it will be unto the praise of your glory, unmistakably. We will celebrate. Reveal to us one on one how we are to praise your glory like we are the only ones, and all of heaven is waiting on us. Bless us this day, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.